Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain-rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior Paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Those Forking Fangirls, where we talk all things nerdy, book, TV, movie, pop culture, fandoms, and how they integrate into our adult lives. I am Natasha.
And I'm Christine.
And today, we're going to be going through all of the Life of a Showgirl tracks, theorizing, breaking down all things Taylor dropped for us in her New Heights episode.
It was a crazy experience watching those 2 hours of content, basically. Like, she talked about people getting amnesia at her Eras tour concert show, whatever you want to call it. And I didn't get amnesia there, but I got amnesia watching this episode because I just kept being like, it's still going. It's still going. We're getting so much information. We've never seen Taylor talk for so long consecutively about her personal life.
I didn't think it was going to be 2 hours. I thought it was going to be
hour tops. I know.
Is this what people get so much when they listen to us and our 2 hour podcast?
Yeah, well, this is what I get when I listen to Armchair too. Like, I love learning about all these different people in the industry and all these different actors that you never get to see, like, mm-hmm. what their actual life is like. And it's so fascinating, but we never thought we'd get this for Taylor Swift. Like,
I'm also, you know what, it's a little bit different because we watched it, right? Like, we didn't really listen. It's different between the watching and listening, because listening, you can be doing other things. I was actively sitting down
watching.
It was mm-hmm. long. Yeah,
it was long, and I kept being like, when's it gonna be over, because I thought she would max do an hour, and it just kept going, and my brain was just having trouble processing so much information. So I've watched it 2.5 times. Listen, I watched it one time, and then I watched half of it again with my neighbor Cynthia, and then I listened to it again last night. And, you know, it was crazy that she referenced the interview with Brad Pitt on Armchair Expert, which was huge.
No. She referenced the interview with Brad Pitt on New Heights.
Yeah, she referenced Brad Pitt being on podcast, and she was like, I wanted to be on too. And Brad Pitt's now doing 2 podcasts, I guess.
New Heights and Armchair.
Good Armchair. That's a lot of content for Brad. I have to watch his other one now. All right. Well, as always, if you want to skip to the main discussion, there is a timestamp in the show notes or the description, wherever you are. We're on YouTube too, if you like to watch the show. And you can skip to it if you'd like. But as always, first, we're going to be getting into some snap, crackle, pop culture news. And of course, we won't have Today in Taylor Swift today, because Taylor Swift is the whole meat of the entire episode.
She is the episode.
Natasha, what do you have for us?
Okay, Batman 2 starts filming next spring. We didn't know if it was actually going to get greenlit with what's his face, who is now
Robert Pattinson.
No, the guy who's director who's helming DC.
Oh, James Gunn?
Yeah, because it was a project before James Gunn entered the DC universe.
But now he's doing it?
No, he's not doing it. Matt Reeves is still doing it. But no. It was like,
wait, why did you even say his name?
Because James Gunn has said, he's like, oh yeah, this Batman's not going to be our Batman. So they're kind of like allowing Batman 2 to happen because it did so well, but they're not actually going to bring him. Like, they're going to recast Batman once again, probably.
Oh, they're recasting Batman?
Okay. Batman
You're
2.
You're explaining this backwards. What do you mean?
Batman 2 is happening with Robert Pattinson and Matt Reeves directing. It's a completely separate film outside of what James Gunn is planning for the DCEU.
Another Batman is what you're saying.
And yes, once this film is done, they're going to recast Batman again.
Okay.
Most likely. We aren't going to see David Cornsweet and Robert Pattinson interact in the movie, unfortunately.
Whatever. All right, cool.
At least we get another movie.
I mean, yeah, I didn't love that Batman because we never got to see Rob. We just saw Batman.
Pauline says it's going to be considered Elseworld, which means any project outside of main DC stuff now.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. Melissa says, my question is, will James Gunn go a fully different direction for Batman? I think so.
We'll see. I'm excited to see James Gunn Batman. Mm-hmm. All right. Fallout Season 2 dropped a trailer.
It did?
Yes. I didn't watch it because I don't want to be spoiled, but it exists. And Season 2, it has a release date. It's coming December 17th on Prime.
Whoa. So
that's very exciting. Yeah. And a couple other things happened. Paramount has officially made its first big deal with the Duffer Brothers, who made Stranger Things.
Yeah.
They've signed a 4-year deal, including film, TV, and streaming, with emphasis on theatrical. So I also saw another thing about this, saying that they specifically signed with Paramount because it could offer the opportunity for their stuff to go to the theater, and they want that.
Okay. I mean, they deserve that.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, they make movies. Stranger Things is one enormous, or you could say five enormous movies. Also, I don't know if we knew this, but Emily in Paris is coming December 18th, the day after that. And we just got our first look at Emily in Paris. They dropped, like, 9 pictures.
Did you look at them?
I quickly glanced, and it looked like she was in Venice, because I saw her in, like, a boat.
Okay. In a boat.
In a boat. On the water. Okay, also, I wanted to talk about this. I don't know if you've been following Sabrina Carpenter, but she's doing her own version of Secret Sessions, like Taylor Swift used to do.
Oh.
Yeah, like during 1989. And they're called Playdates, A Man's Best Friend Playdates. And she's done one in New York City and in LA with a group of 26 fans at a private location where they weren't allowed to use their phones, which is, I like this. I love that they're bringing back these like little, these like intimate fan parties. Yeah, that's really cool. And makes sense that coming from Sabrina, who very much looked up to Taylor Swift and loves to do her own Easter eggs and all of those things.
I wonder if she like asked Taylor, she's like, can I do this?
I mean, she's allowed to do it. Yeah. Florence and the Machine, Melissa says, has a new album coming out Halloween, and the lead single dropped today. Oh, shit.
Yay.
Yeah. Ollie, we got to look that up. Okay. That's exciting.
I don't know if you guys have been following this.
What's this?
Yeah. But the Love Hypothesis, like, on-set videos are all going viral.
They're so fun.
And I have not, I'm not kidding you, I have rewatched this one video where Tom Bateman swoops up Lily Reinhardt with one arm.
Well, that's a trend on TikTok, the one
I didn't swoop. I thought it was their trend. I thought they created it. It was so effortlessly done. I can't get over all of the videos that she keeps posting from set. It's like so fun. Gosh.
They're great. But I don't know if you saw Shawn Johnson, the gymnast, and her husband do it, but theirs was actually really sexy.
Ooh, okay.
And cute at the end.
Melissa's the one arm swoop is from anime.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, well, it's definitely become a big TikTok trend because I see it all the time. And it's really cute seeing all the couples do it. All right. What else do we have left? I have one other thing. I have a book coming out called 30, Flirty, and Forever Alone. It's my adult rom-com debut because all my other novels have been considered crossover, so like early 20s, but they're not put in crossover sections. They're usually put in the YA section because there's no existing Mm-hmm. No existing section for that. So this is actually technically going to be considered an adult book. She's 30. She is not a young adult. And it is a rom-com. And it is about a woman who was always had her goal to be with her person by 30. She likes to plan, and she tries really hard to make that happen, leading up to two back-to-back weddings because she checked the I'm bringing a plus one box. And then she doesn't have one. All that dating for nothing, and she has to go to these weddings alone. And we kind of rock and roll from there. She meets somebody at one of the weddings, and it's a super fun time. And it's available for pre-order now. And it used to be coming out 11/11, but it has been pushed to 1/1/26. Okay? Oh. So you knew that. And I talked about this a couple times, but just in case you missed it, it's now coming out January 1st, and any like tour event stuff that I am in the process of planning will be happening the week of the 6th of January. So keep an eye out for those, because
let us see
you. We're very excited. Natasha will hopefully be at one of them, and we'll be doing it together. It'll be great. So that's happening. And yeah, I think that's all for news. Do you have anything else, Natasha?
Nope.
My other thing here was Life of Showgirl comes out October 3rd, which we did not know last week. What day is it?
October 3rd.
All right, what right now? Natasha, what are you reading right now?
I'm still reading Project Hail Mary. I can't believe you started weeks later, and then you went through it so quickly.
Started and finished a reread of Project Hail Mary. It was so fucking good. I love it so much, and I was in withdrawals for like a good 3-day book morning period. I couldn't stop thinking about it. All I wanted was more. And I was thinking in terms of Project Hail Mary, like the way they talk in that book is how my brain was talking.
Yeah, no, I say bad, bad, bad now all the time. I mean, my life has been, I sat down yesterday. My family was in town. And I realized I haven't had a day where I haven't like thought about the next thing or what I need to do or like what test do I need to study for? Like whose hair am I doing next? In literally 7 months. So I finally have my life back. So I'm excited. I'm like, I literally had like the bug. I was like, ooh, I need to read something. So it'll come back.
All right. I finished The Wedding People. And y'all, it was really good. By the end, I also, once I finished that audiobook, I was like, I felt very empty. I was like, what do I listen to now? So
was
it starts
as sad?
No, it starts to pick up around the, I want to say like 40% mark. Things start to get better. And we start getting more involved in the wedding people's lives. And there's like a love interest. And I love every time they talked. And it was very thoughtful and like contemplative about life and relationships and marriage in general. And I really loved it. And it made me, I was thinking about it for a long time and still thinking about it. And I looked up if their movie rights were sold, and they were. So that's cool, because I really feel like this would make a good film. Mm. It's set at this beautiful location in Rhode Island on the beach, and all the wedding people are so vivid in my head, and all the stuff gets really sweet towards the end. So I see why everyone loves this book. And it does have a really great audiobook. And I would just not recommend it for someone who's in a dark place, because we have to wade through a lot of darkness before you start to see the light. Mm. But it's about like how life can always start again. You know what I mean? Like there's always new things to discover and live for, and you can always if you're not happy, change your life.
Yeah.
And that's, it's a really beautiful, she has a really beautiful arc. So anyway, I finished that and I started Bury the Midnight Bones, the new V.E. Schwab book, which is narrated by Julia Whelan. And oh my gosh, the girl who's playing the mom in Bridgerton, who played Cho Chang in Harry Potter.
Oh.
I can't remember her name right now, but she's also one of the narrators. There's like four different narrators or three different narrators, and she's one of them as well. So I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. But I just started it, so I can't really comment.
Oh, I just learned that, you know how Spotify has their audiobook listening thing when you have premium?
Yeah, that's what I listen to these on.
Yes. So I got on my Spotify and I'm on the family plan with Alex. And so I'm the one who gets screwed and I can't listen to anything on Spotify. But they just finally released that family plans can have an extra 15 hours if you pay for it. I think it's like $2 more a month.
Okay.
So
did he get it?
I don't know. I told him to, but that was like a couple days ago.
Okay. Well, hopefully he does. Katie Leung. Thank you, Melissa. That's the actress I was referring to. All right. Shows. What have you been watching?
Obviously, The Summer I Turned Pretty.
Yes. There was a new episode, and I did already watch it.
Wait. Does it come out on Wednesday nights or Thursday nights?
It came out at midnight on Tuesday night.
Oh.
Like, so it came out Wednesday. But I started it last night and I finished it while I was getting ready.
I thought
they
came out on Thursday.
Nope.
Wow. Okay. You already watched it. I haven't watched that new episode.
Okay. We'll wait. And you've been watching Perfect Match as well?
Yes.
I got a little deeper in last night because things got crazy when The Bachelor had his ex come into the house.
No way.
Rachel is there. I didn't even watch this season, but I heard about it everywhere.
Oh my gosh. I'm excited to watch. I mean, I've only got through episode, I think, three.
Yeah, I had it on while I was doing, I've been doing organizing tax stuff, and I had it on in the background, and this got juicy.
Ooh, excited. I can't believe they have talent from
The Bachelor.
Like, outside, yeah, of yeah. Netflix shows.
Yeah, no, that was a surprise. And also, okay, so one of the challenges was a they're all compatibility quotes challenges that they do on The Perfect Match, but they asked them questions about, like, what turns them on and their kinks and stuff, and, like, so the girls answered the questions and then the guys had to guess like which answer was their girls and then the same for the guys. And all of the Bachelor guys, Clayton's answers were like super wholesome and like good boyish. And everyone was like, ew, what's that? Boring.
Oh.
And I was like, you guys are mean. And they all just went for like the spicy. Like hot answers, but he was like emotionally stable and
oh
he was like what turns you on the most, and he's like emotional stability and blah blah, and everyone else was like a hot PJ after work.
Oh.
No, there's just a lot of very like sexual answers, and his were always like the wholesome family answer.
I also watched Alien Earth, which is on FX.
Ooh.
And this is a show that Alex like talked about a couple episodes ago, and it's really good so far. I mean, if you guys like the Alien franchise, you'll like this, but, it's like, it feels like the films. It's weird. Like,
all right, good.
How the TV shows can do that.
Yeah. Movies. I watched The Materialist finally.
Oh, boy.
And I was so mad when it ended because this movie was not good. It was entirely predictable, entirely on the nose. Nothing happened. It was boring. The characters weren't interesting. I'm so confused about this movie. I was like waiting for a twist to happen because it's A24 and like nothing unexpected at all had happened. The biggest twist was just like something that Pedro Pascal's character said about himself.
Yeah, that was the biggest twist.
And I was like, okay, dot, dot, dot. But their romance was not good. It wasn't like there wasn't much chemistry. It wasn't exciting to watch. And there were no good arcs. I'm just confused about this film because it was so hyped. And maybe that's why they spent so much money on the press tour to get people to see the movie, because they knew there wasn't much going on in it. Like, nothing happens in this movie. It's really depressing. It's just a very depressing message in the beginning, and you're waiting for it to kind of evolve into something interesting, but it never does. It's just like she's straight up being like, well, you know what scene I'm talking about, Natasha, where she's like, why would you want me? I'm going to be ugly in 5 years. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that.
Yeah,
I'm going
to be crying.
This. And I'm just like, ew, you're not going to get anybody with that attitude. you know what I really wanted to happen? Mild spoilers for this terrible movie. Don't waste your money on it or your time. I really wanted to, in the beginning, she said she's going to die alone. So at the end, I wanted her to die alone, like in a crazy way. Like I wanted the other guys to die.
I remember I kept like theorizing during the film.
Me too.
Like, this is going to happen. This is going to happen.
I know. Like crazy things.
None of it happened.
Nothing happened.
Listen, I don't think it is as bad as Listen, the only reason why I watched it was because of the cast. And if you guys want to see the cast interact, then see the cast interact.
But they don't interact in a fun way. They're boring. The yeah. best part is when Chris Evans is by himself and interacting with his roommates for 5 seconds because he steps on a condom. That is the most exciting part of the movie. And I like chuckled for a second. But nothing is funny. And nothing is interesting. Like, I hate that the description of this was like, Celine's song opens up the rom-com tropes.
Tears open.
Yeah, whatever it was, it's not. I'm like, no, this had no calm. Like, Dakota's character, her name's Dakota, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Dakota Johnson?
Dakota Johnson's character was so flat for me. And had so little, and I think that was the point of her character, but she always plays characters like this where she's not very expressive. She like has a very monotone voice when she talks, you know? Mm-hmm. And she has a client because she's a matchmaker where she's like mid personality, mid pretty, mid this, mid that. And I feel like that was kind of mirroring how she feels about herself, like mid personality, mid this, mid that. But it didn't like, nothing came to fruition about it, you know?
Yeah. I Alex came out of that movie and he's like, I just don't like Dakota Johnson. I think she's just every movie she's in, she just like this plays the same character.
And she's just a flat character who never gets excited about anything.
Yeah.
Katie Seamstress says it was so disappointing. Even Pedro couldn't save it for me. Yeah. Pedro's character was really boring in this movie. They talked when they were on a date. They talked at snail speed. We had this one shot of them across the table from each other, just like being like, blah, 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 blah. Like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, when is something going to happen that catches anyone's attention? Everyone is asleep.
I haven't really liked Pedro's last few roles. Like, I just feel like he's not been like a standout. I love him as a person, but like, what, like the last, I mean, besides The Last of Us, which he's incredible, and like him as Mr. Fantastic, and then this movie, I was just like, I want to see you like be happy and like be fun. Like, you are.
Yeah. Play a character with some personality. I feel like this character is so flat personality-wise.
I want to see him do like his Game of Thrones thing again, or
yes!
like,
or that like that was a great character.
Or when he did the undescribable thing with Nicolas Cage, that was freaking hilarious. The Nicolas Cage movie.
He was unbearable in the Nicolas Cage movie.
He was the main guy. That. Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. So good.
I gotta watch that movie. I started it once on a plane and fell asleep, so didn't get it.
That was so good in that.
Okay, well, I'm going to add that to my list. You watched the Minecraft movie? Oh, with your
Against
cousin?
Against my will.
You Well, I heard it. We heard it was decent, remember?
It was fine. It was fun. Like, Jason Momoa was great in it. Jack Black is freaking hilarious. Bodhi wanted to watch it, my nephew. And so we all sat and watched it. And I didn't hate it. I actually was enjoying it. So
good.
Mm-hmm.
Glad to hear it.
We got to that stupid chicken thing.
Stupid chicken thing?
Okay, when last summer when the theaters like erupted because Jack Black says chicken shop, I think. Chicken jockey. Oh my God. It was just so anticlimactic, let me just tell you.
All right.
Did you not see this last summer?
I remember talking about it briefly.
There was some guy who brought a whole chicken into the theater, like got up on his friend's shoulders.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Flashlights were shown. Popcorn was thrown. They got like, and multiple theaters did this crap.
Oh, well, cool. All right. Well, we are going to move into our main discussion. I'm so excited, and I don't want to waste any more time on anything else because there's so much to discuss with The Life of a Showgirl, you guys. But first, we have to thank the listeners, so that's never a waste of time. Thank you all for being here, for supporting the pod. We appreciate you all so much. If you don't know, you can follow the podcast for free in your favorite podcast app, whether that be Spotify or Apple Podcast or Pocket Cast. You can just hit the follow button. You'll never miss an episode. It really helps us out. If you love the show, rating the show really quickly really helps us out. You can click the 5 stars very quickly on Spotify. And if we get to 1,000 ratings by the end of the year, we're going to be filming ourselves pieing each other in the face for your entertainment. So we're getting close. And if you want to help us out to get there, it's really, really easy. Just pop open Spotify, rate it 5 stars. And we're on YouTube. If you don't know, youtube.com/@thoseworkingfangirls. Every single episode is also visual if you prefer to watch. And you can subscribe there for free by just clicking the subscribe button, and you'll never miss an episode there. And that really helps us out. So thanks for doing it if you do. And we have a Patreon. This podcast is supported by viewers like you, and we could not do it without you. We appreciate our patrons so much. So thank you if you already are a patron. You are really, really giving us life as a podcast here. And if you would like to become a patron, we really, really would love to have you.
Yes, we would.
The link is in the show notes, patreon.com/thoseworkingfangirls. And we have so many fun perks for our patrons at the Team Jacob level, which is the first tier. You get the show ad-free. You get to come to recordings and be in the chat, be a part of the discussion, okay? And you get our flagship perk, Fangirl Tea Time, which is a half an hour extra show that is at the end of every single episode where we do story time about things going on in our lives. We dig into deeper aspects of the topics that we discuss during the show. It's super, super fun. We love our community there, and we'd love to have you. So, Leah Marie says, this is my first week as a patron. Excited to be here. Yay! Thank you so much for joining our Patreon. We really, really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And anybody out there, super easy. Link is in the show notes. And if you want to, I forgot to say, like, if you subscribe annually, if you do the annual subscription, you get like a 16% discount, and that's almost 2 months for free. So that's also an option if you want to save on the subscription. All right, folks. So we are going to, if you are a patron, we are rolling right into the main discussion. If not, we will be right back after these messages.
Saving money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, get a home safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kidde products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
All right. And we are back. And We now have so much information about the life of a showgirl. We're going to talk about everything. But where we left off talking last week, there was a door coming down from her website. And then there were like these locks at the bottom. And everyone was theorizing different things, like what the locks are going to be. And the most obvious thing were variants. And I was like, I hope they're not variants. It's so anticlimactic. But yes, it was variants.
A little anticlimactic.
It was variants. I still think before the end of the year, we're going to get the doc. I still think it really goes hand in hand with this whole theme because it's behind the curtain. That's what this is. But let's talk about the photos. So these photos, each variant has a different cover, and they're done by Mert and Marcus, who were the photographers for Reputation. And that photo shoot is super memorable because she had a super different look. Like, she was very clean-faced, and her hair was, like, super slicked back. Do you remember, Natasha?
Are we talking about for Reputation?
Yeah, for Reputation.
Oh, yeah. That was a very different tailor.
Yes, yes. Well, she wanted it to be different. And she also, in those pictures, did that thing with her eyes, with the hands over her eyes, like, forming those Vs. And it was iconic. And there's a lot of different parallels with Reputation and the upcoming The Life of a Showgirl.
Yeah.
And starting with these photographers and some of these pictures. So there's the It's Rapturous edition, right? And that's where she's doing the thing with her eyes on the picture. And there's like a green light on her.
Yes. And what, I mean, besides us going through all the photos, like, what were your initial thoughts when you just saw the
pictures?
Well, yeah, the photos and the theme and all of it.
I was like, this makes sense. And I feel like she's going for a very, like, 1989 sort of album, you know, where it's like we have these set tracks. They're all very, like, poppy and infectious. And there's a story there if you take a second to listen to it, and they all fit together really well. Like, 1989, I didn't see the story in the beginning. It's because she took out some of the pieces and she just gave them back. Like, it was like a puzzle with three missing pieces.
Yeah.
And she gave them to us in Taylor's version, 1989. And I feel like that's what this album is going to be like, but maybe with more of a Reputation vibe because it's falling in love. And that's a lot of, that's what Reputation was about, falling in love. So it's falling in love while on tour.
Yes, the behind the scenes of it all.
And yeah, I mean, what did you think about these pictures? They're very sexy.
The sexiness is what got me. I was like, oh my gosh, Taylor. I was so excited because, like, this is the kind of crap I want to see. She looks hot. She looks hot. And I think just every single photo, there's, like, just something to feast your eyes on.
Which, like, one's your favorite?
I mean, the new one that just dropped, the bug one.
Yeah, the shiny bug on the vinyl.
Like, she looks so beautiful in that. I think there was even one where she's in that same, like, corsety outfit where it's like her head's thrown back, and
that, like, one those with the first chairs.
The chairs. I mean, I love the showgirl fit too with all the big ostrich feathers. I think as a seamstress and as, like, a fashion girly and as a corset lover, I love that black look, and I, like, kind of want to recreate it.
Are you talking about the one?
The bug.
The bug. Yeah. She looks like,
what?
She looks like she's about to be taken from behind. Is that what she's alluding to?
Yes.
It's like the sexiest picture she's ever put out, I feel.
And I'm like, oh no, people are going to use that and, like, manipulate it.
But she wants that image out. And that's what, so when I re-listened to the podcast, she was like, there's one more and I'm really excited about it. I love it so much, but I'm just going to hold it. So there's some mystery, and it's the shiny bug edition. Cause she made it her profile picture.
She did?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah. Cause she looks hot. Yeah. I mean, she looks hot in all of them, but, like, that one, I was like, whoa.
Yeah. So you didn't order any of the special editions, right?
No.
I withheld, and I'm really, really proud of myself. Good okay. job. I just wanted to go through the names of them. Mm-hmm. It's Rapturous was the one with the green with the reputation eyes. And then and the it's
Black Wig.
Yeah, the Black Wig. It's Beautiful is the one where she's like biting her pinky finger. This is probably like my least favorite one. And she's in like that almost naked outfit. Because I like the other one in the naked outfit better where she's like standing. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. And then It's Frightening is the one that has the most reputation-y look. It looks like Chicago to me. And I think it is giving like a Chicago reference.
It's giving, to me, this image of her like walking over the seat.
The chairs, yeah.
The chairs. It feels like, what was that show?
What show? It looks like she's hunting. It looks like the murderess on Murderer's Row to me in Chicago. It gives also reputation because she's got that slick back look. Mm-hmm. Cell Block Tango, for sure, falling.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm tempted to get the vinyl because I like that picture the most, but I wish it was on the CD. but so the CDs all come with a piece of jewelry, which is really interesting.
Oh.
Yeah, all these special editions. But I didn't get any because if you remember, I got every single special edition for TTPD. And guess what? They're all sitting in a pile. I haven't even touched them, okay? I've got my one TTPD in the car. Actually, two. I have two because on top of all the special editions, I got one the day it came out at Target and I had to get the anthology at Target. So I have those two in my car. And nothing special came with those CDs except for magnets that I have. Like, that's my favorite one of the Showgirl vibe. Yeah.
I love that one too. I feel like that this should have been.
She looks real sexy in that pic too.
I also like this one too of her in the black wig.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so that one. So Natasha's referring to the one that has like the ostrich feathers all around her in the black wig. And she's on like the Delicate set from the Delicate music video.
She is?
Yes. That's where she is in the Delicate music video. So that's another direct reference back to reputation, which is really interesting. And that kind of ties hand in hand with being a showgirl, like having a specific reputation when you're on stage that might not match who you are behind the scenes. But are you ready to go through the track list? All right. Let's talk track list. So she has been very specific about how there will be 12 tracks for her 12th studio album and nothing else. Like she said, there's no extra tracks. There's no 13th. There's no anything. This is very focused. I wanted this to be like 12 uber high quality tracks. I don't know if I believe her that they won't be any bonus track. But we'll see. But the first track is called The Fate of Ophelia. Now, and this was really interesting to me because I didn't know about this painting of Ophelia.
You didn't?
No, I didn't know about this painting, which exactly mirrors the cover of the album. Ophelia drowned. She was driven mad by her father's death in Hamlet, and Ophelia was like super obedient to her father, and her father forbid her to keep seeing Hamlet. And then when he tells her to see him, to spy on him, she does. Like, she does everything he tells her to do. So there's like a forbidden love thing happening there. There's like a father tie happening there, and there's this portrait, this painting that is clearly what inspired the cover of the album.
Yes. There is a movie with Daisy Ridley who plays Ophelia. If you guys want like a little more backstory to her, it's literally all about her.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Cheyenne says, I mean, Rep didn't get any bonus tracks at all. You're very right. I forgot about that because we didn't get Taylor's version. So we've gotten exactly no bonus tracks from Rep. Cheyenne says, I think this is Rep 2.0. Yeah, the last time she worked with Max Martin and Shellback, I think his name was, is the other producer, was during Reputation, but they also worked together a lot on Red. Like they did I Knew You Were Trouble and We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together and 22 and a lot on 1989, like Blank Space and Wildest Dreams and Style. Like all of those were this team of people, Max Martin and Shellback. You know, what's really interesting is that she did all this while she was in Sweden on tour.
So like when she talked about that, so she would be somewhere in Europe and then fly to Sweden.
Well, she did perform in Sweden too.
Yeah.
She had a stretch there. So yeah, I mean, I feel like it all must have happened while she was in Europe. She was obviously writing the songs, but like putting them together when she mm-hmm. was there. That's just wild. Like this was made while she was in the thick of it in Europe on her tour.
I wonder, does the like Ophelia being obedient to her father, do yeah. you think her father is she, it's not actually her father, do you think it's like her fans?
I don't know. I think it's interesting, like it can mean more than one thing. Mm-hmm. And but I do think that she did have an interesting journey with her father that we see through American, what is her documentary called?
Miss Americana.
Miss Americana and the Heartbreak Prince. Miss Americana. Yeah. Where, you know, for a while she was holding back from taking any political stances because her father was really worried about what that would do to her fan base and how divisive it would be. And they were probably, you know, leaning maybe a little more conservative and all of that, and they didn't want her to put herself in the line of that kind of scrutiny where the yeah. divisiveness comes out. But she eventually like hits that turning point and is like, no, it's I have to say something and all of that. So that could play into how she feels her, she, you know, correlates with Ophelia. But it also could be many things because, yeah, there's father figure is another track on the album and eldest daughter. There's a lot of family themes that you can draw with those through that trifecta of songs.
Yes.
Okay, let's go back up here to track number two is called Elizabeth Taylor, which is also referenced in Reputation, Burton to your Taylor and mm-hmm. Ready for It.
I mean, Elizabeth Taylor is an icon. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's, I've seen so many of her films, but in pop culture, she is known for marrying mm-hmm. so many different
eight men. Marriages, but seven husbands.
Yes.
Of Evelyn Hugo.
Uh huh. And I mean, the jewelry that woman has and just the way that she got everything she wanted and was like, eh, I don't need you anymore. And then would divorce and then get back together. She had
an affair.
I mean, okay. It was an affair, but like, I mean,
no, Burton to your Taylor. Oh, yeah, I was reading about
it. On the set of Cleopatra.
Yeah. They had an affair.
Yes.
And then they got married.
Uh huh. There's actually a doc, if you guys want to watch, it's with Lindsay Lohan and she plays Elizabeth Taylor.
What?
If you want to know all the things about Elizabeth Taylor and, what's his first name? Burton
Richard Burton, maybe?
Burton. Yeah. If you want all the inside scoop on that relationship.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because, you know, she drew this Burton to your Taylor thing when she was falling in love with Joe. And of course, their relationship kind of started in a little bit of a gray area because mm-hmm. she was still dating someone, Calvin Harris, maybe, or in a gray area with the other guy, Loki. Tom Hiddleston. It's a little muddy. But whoever it was, it started off a little dicey. And it's interesting that, yeah, she's sticking with the Elizabeth Taylor reference. And also, in one of those special editions, there was like a purple eye. And I didn't know, is Elizabeth Taylor famous for having violet eyes?
Oh my gosh, she has violet eyes. And fun story, this is actually personal to me. My grandpa was a security guard at Disneyland for like 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And he got to escort Elizabeth Taylor around Disneyland in the 60s. And he talked about how her eyes were just so stunning. And he had never seen anything like that before in his life.
That's crazy. Wait, this is your grandpa?
Yeah, my papa.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Wild. Melissa says, I feel like I could really relate to how her and Travis's relationship has captivated the world like Elizabeth and Richard's marriage did. Yeah. It could really relate. Definitely. There's a lot of different parallels that she can draw from so many different aspects of Elizabeth Taylor's life. So excited to see what she has to say there. Okay, track 3 is called Opalite. And I did not know what Opalite was. As Travis was like, do you know what Opalite was, Jason? So I Googled it. Opalite is a man-made synthetic glass that often is used as a cheap alternative to natural opal or moonstone. Mm-hmm. It's known for its milky appearance and opalescence, iridescent shine, which can vary in color depending on the light source. While some associate it with metaphysical properties, it's important to note that opalite is not naturally occurring as a gemstone. It's a man-made stone. So it's manufactured. This is kind of like probably a metaphor for something that's a knockoff.
Well, opal, it has so many different colors. It's so beautiful. It's in any different light, you can see a spectrum of colors. Same with moonstone, yes and no. But I'm wondering if that has something to do, like, you know, she's shiny, mirror ball, all the different colors, but in reality, it's not actually real. You know, yeah, it's not
it's the real thing.
It's like
a facade. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that can also go in a lot of different ways. Like if she wanted this to be a burn track, it could, but it's probably about something in her actual life.
Yeah. I actually love opal. It's so beautiful. Have you seen opal?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's pretty. It's the June... Well, one of the June birthstones, and growing up, that's what I associated with June.
Okay.
All right. Track 4, Father Figure, which is a song that's very well known that has been trending on TikTok. I will be your father figure. Put your little hand in mine. And it's George Michael's. And the song came out in 1987. I was like, when did the song come out? What is the year? What are the numbers? And... that also, like we talked about, is kind of interesting because there's a mention of father and that relationship and being a daughter. So that's going to be interesting to see through this album because her family was with her throughout this whole tour. I really loved hearing her talk about her relationship with her family. Like, her mom just got a new knee and her dad just got quintuple bypass surgery, and she's like, yeah, we got to revamp the parents, get them some new parts. They have to live till they're 180 because they're my best friends. It was sweet to hear her talk about her fam.
Mm-hmm. It's funny to hear her talk about her dad and the way that he could meet someone in the airport in 1970 and then be best friends with them and still talk to him once a week.
Yeah.
Like, he is just a
very outgoing, friendly man.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it was really interesting to hear her talk about her dad at all because she never does. She always talks about her mom. So I wasn't sure, like, what kind of relationship they had, especially after Miss Americana. Mm-hmm. And it was really nice to hear that. And we would see videos of Scott just giving out these picks, like guitar picks to everyone, everywhere, and videos of him with Travis in the booth, you know.
Well, and I didn't know that the coach of the Chiefs and him were best friends.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. Well, apparently Scott Swift is friends with everybody. He's a very friendly man. And yeah, so 4 is Father Figure. 5, the personal track on the album, as we've come to know and love, is Eldest Daughter. I feel like this is going to be intense.
For all of us eldest daughters.
Yes. And I'm very excited to hear it. This is probably the one I'm most excited for, just because it's called Eldest Daughter. And track five, like that combination. And then track six is interesting. It's called Ruin the Friendship. Yeah. And while I was watching, I hadn't even looked at the track list because everyone else could see it immediately. But if you were same. Watching live, you were waiting for Taylor to tell you. Mm-hmm. And my neighbor was texting me being like, Ruin the Friendship. Do you think this is about Blake Lively?
He did the same thing to me. I was like, we haven't even heard them yet.
I know. I was like, wait, I'm watching.
That makes me so sad.
Yeah. I don't know if that's what it's about. We'll see. But, you know, it's interesting that Demi Lovato also has a song called Ruin the Friendship that's about Nick Jonas because they were good friends and they went on tour together. And then apparently, like, they became, like, Ben friends and ruined their friendship.
Mm.
And I don't know. I just recently, like, saw more discourse about that because Demi went and performed with them in New Jersey at their concert. And people were talking about how she didn't like hug Nick or something. And that they were surprised she wanted to be around Nick. And then I read up about like Ruin the Friendship being about Nick. I had no idea about this. So It's interesting that it's called the same exact name. Just like father figure. Like she usually doesn't do the same name as other songs.
Mm-hmm.
So Melissa says, Ruin the Friendship, I feel, is either going to be about actual friendship or taking friendship to the next level. Yeah. Well, Demi's is about taking to the next level, but then ruining it. So never know. But yeah, it would be interesting if it's about actual friendship and not like a romantic relationship. And she usually does have at least one song about her actual friendships on her albums.
Mm-hmm.
We shall see. All right. Track seven is called Actually Romantic.
Okay.
And this one, the last song we had with the word romantic in it is New Romantics in 1989. So I'm wondering if they'll be like connected or reference each other. Yeah. I'm excited for this one. Are you?
I am. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's going to be romantic.
What I think of now after watching the podcast multiple times is when she was talking about meeting Travis and him using the podcast as his dating app and how mm-hmm. she said that, like, this is, if he's not crazy, then this is basically like everything I've ever dreamed about since I was a little girl and wrote about in my songs coming to fruition. Like it's like him being outside my window in a John Hughes film being like, date me, please. And I wonder if this song kind of like, I could see maybe that how this title could reference, like, this could actually be romantic and not like crazy.
Okay. Yeah. I like that idea.
Yeah. But we'll see. I'm excited. And New Romantics is very cynical about love, you know? Like, we're the New Romantics. We're all bored. We're all tired of everything. Like, we get bored of each other so often. We want this new shiny thing. So maybe this is the foil where it's like, oh, this is actually romantic. This is actually love.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. And, you know, according to Travis, every single song is a banger. And, you know, she said her goal was for every single song to be so addictive, like the melodies to almost annoy you how much they get stuck in your head. So I like that. Yeah. All right. And it's time. You know, we haven't had like a dancey T Swift album in a while. We've had a lot of like melodramatic, which I love.
Oh, I love them. I love them love so much.
But it's nice to switch it up, and she loves to switch it up. Okay. Track eight is really interesting to me. It's called Wish List, and it's giving Kesha because both of the S's are dollar signs. So I like the Kesha reference. I don't know if it's a Kesha reference, but I feel like it is to me. And Travis says it's a banger specifically. And I'm wondering if Travis was on her wish list, if it's connected to like prophecy or like this wasn't on my wish list, but I'm happy about it. But it might be too flashy and like sarcastic with those dollar signs.
Wish list with the dollar signs, it feels like, what has she purchased?
I mean, it like, feels like sarcasm with the dollar signs. You know what I mean? It feels like tongue in cheek.
Mm-hmm.
So,
or could it be about like gaining her tracks back?
It could be. Maybe everything on her wish list she finally got because she now is a billionaire.
Yeah.
She had to become a billionaire to get her
everything she wanted.
To get her music back. It could definitely be that.
Mm-hmm.
Probably it could be like, how much money do I need to make for you to fucking give me my music?
Okay, track 9.
Wait, should we talk about that story before we go to track 9?
Oh, yeah. About
the Masters, because that was so emotional.
That was very emotional. I was surprised that they went into that. Was like one of the very first things that they talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And it like got super emotional, like super quickly.
Yeah, Taylor started crying telling the story. But I love that it was her mom and her brother mm-hmm. that like went to get the music back, and how her mom was the one who called her to be like, "We got your music." And Taylor told the story like she just like started crying, was like, "What do you mean? Really?" And then she like she went up to find Travis. I was like, "Travis!"
And he's threw off. "Bye guys, I gotta go."
I love that he got off the video games immediately.
And she collapsed.
Yeah. Oh my god, it was so sweet.
Well, and her mom was like, "Go up and tell Travis."
Taylor was like, "I'm gonna have to go. I have to go tell Travis in like a normal way," but she couldn't because she was so emo. But yeah, that was really, really sweet to hear her actually like talk about it to us in full
about the whole thing. Because. I mean, yeah, it makes sense. Like, you know, she was kind of redoing her tracks or her albums as a like, you know, look, I can do it.
Well, and like, I want to own them. Yeah.
Yeah.
They talk about like that specifically, like how she was like, who would be so petty? Mm-hmm. they didn't have it in her contract that she can't re-record them. Mm-hmm. And that was fun to hear too. Mm-hmm. All right, do you want to move to track 9?
Yes, track 9, Wood, all capitalized.
Do we think this is dirty wood? Because the pictures are leaning towards yes. Is it all capital, or did I capitalize it? Now I'm like second guessing. Let me go look.
No, it's not all capitalized.
Oh, okay. Canceled is all capitalized, maybe.
Canceled is all capitalized.
All right. Yeah, still intrigued by wood.
I'm very intrigued by wood.
I feel like it'll be, if it is like dirty wood, it'll also have like a million different meanings because she loves to do that.
Mm-hmm. It's not going to be in your face.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I bet she is also like superstitious and also like wood in a fire and would you? Okay, track 10 is canceled. Track 10s are usually bangers. And canceled is giving, though. Remember, we got the track list for the extra bonus 1989 songs, and we're like, slut! It's going to be a rock song! So we got to take the exclamation point with a grain of salt. But she is giving that this album is a dance album, and it probably is a banger.
I wonder, I mean, has she been canceled recently?
Well, when she was at football games, all the football players, and she actually referenced this too. Like, she was like, "People want, I'm sure the thing that they want the most is to see more of me on their screens." So mm-hmm. it could definitely be about the sports world being like, Taylor Swift, fuck her.
That makes sense.
Remember that one video where like Taylor Swift came on screen and the whole of the stadium booed and she was there?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was so rude.
People suck.
Yeah. And I bet that canceled is also tongue-in-cheek and has lots of different meanings, too.
Track 11.
Yeah.
Is Honey.
Honey. Yeah. And the little snippet that she has under her picture a lot of the time is like, "Honey, that's show business for y'all." So maybe that line is in there.
What was Travis kept calling her babe?
Sweetie.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I thought it was honey.
Sweetie, it's the colors of your eyes, I think you said.
Mm-hmm.
Save big money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kidde products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. So, but she does have a line in there that sounds like it could be a lyric when she says, they have that conversation about her being an athlete. She's like, I'm not an athlete. And he's like, they're both like, come on, you're an athlete. Power skip. and she's like, he sees what he wants to see and it bodes well for me. And that's very lyrical. Like that could easily be a line from one of her songs.
Yes.
But... yeah, that was a conversation. Was like, just Taylor, just say you're athletic because you had to be.
She's like, I'm not interested in a ball coming at me.
She is a competitive person. We know this. It's just like when she cares about whatever it is.
Yes. But like, I think certain hand-to-hand combat sports, things like that.
Yeah.
She's comparing herself to Travis.
Yeah,
and Jason.
I think this was a good call to explain it the way that she did on a sports podcast because she is with two professional athletes. Mm-hmm. But like, she is athletic because she had to be to do that show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah. And she explained it how like she's like, I would start the tour at my low, and then by the end of the tour, like I finally got my stamina up.
But like
I didn't want to do it that way.
That was her previous tours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So she did a shitload of training and cardio before this tour. But okay, let's talk about her talking about the tour. Cause she was like, she's happy that it's done. It was wonderful while she was in it, but she was in a constant state of physical discomfort and like constant physical therapy.
I can only imagine.
Yeah. I can't even imagine. Travis was like, when I saw your station in the hotel room, and she said that like she had to put in toe spacers like immediately after, like she had an acupuncture mat or something.
My friend has one of those.
A stepping mat or like you lay on your whole body?
Yeah, probably both. There's two different kinds.
Oh my god. It's a lot, man.
I feel like, yeah, she'd be like crippled.
Yeah. She was talking about those heels. And I was like, yeah, why? Why did we wear those every night for 3 hours dancing? The switch from her flats to boots for Folklore was wild. Oh, wait.
When they like combined Folklore and Evermore, she instead of like having her flat shoes, she just had her boots on.
Her heel boots,
right? I think.
Wow, I don't remember because I don't like look at her feet as much.
Yeah, she started the tour wearing flats for Folklore, and yeah, when they switched, she was wearing heeled boots. I was right.
I am sad for her that she just never took those off. All right. And then track 12 is The Life of a Showgirl, feat. Sabrina Carpenter, our resident nonstop showgirl.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm really interested in how this is going to, what the vibe is going to be for this song. Because
so excited.
It sounds like, you know, it's written by Taylor Swift, which is like featuring Sabrina. So it's going to be, I don't know.
I hope we don't get a snow on the beach.
I don't think it will be because I think she really took that to heart.
Yeah, I hope it's more Florida.
It'll probably be like Florida, like one verse. Someone needs to go back in time and tell little Sabrina that this will happen one day. I know. Aww. Melissa, it's crazy. This must be like the most exciting thing.
So, okay. To be included in the Grammys this year, she would have needed to release a single by August 30th. Do you think that will happen in the next 10 days?
I don't know, but it easily could. I feel like she has the first music video for the first single locked and loaded. In the interview, she did use the number 47 a couple times. So I counted 47 days from the interview. And that is the Monday before release. It's like September 29th.
Okay.
So I don't know if she's planning to like announce something, like maybe the documentary is going to drop with it. I have no idea. But I don't know. Do you think she's going to drop it? Like, it's, you never know with her, because sometimes she doesn't do one and then sometimes she does.
I mean, lately,
she hasn't.
That's because I feel like they've dropped so quickly, right?
Well, she could have dropped.
Midnight, she dropped
Antihero. Mm-hmm. But was that ahead of time or was that right before release? I feel like I was on release day that music video came out, right?
Maybe.
But I don't know. I can't remember now.
It feels so long.
I mean, October 3rd is going to be here before we fucking know it.
I know.
And if she doesn't get included in this Grammys, she'll be included in the next Grammys.
Yeah.
So much talk about Super Bowl Easter eggs, M says. Yeah, I mean, what specific Easter eggs for the Super Bowl stick out to you? I mean, he talked about, obviously, going to the Super Bowl. She talked about her experience, like, going down to the field when they won the game that would take them to the Super Bowl. And she was just like, I've never seen so much media in my entire life. And then they just started running at me. Oh, the 47 stop on the tour is where they're playing the Super... On what tour? Her old tour? I feel like that's a big of a stretch for her, but I don't know.
Okay, can we talk about... This is very specific to me. Mm-hmm. Now, I love the photography of the... albums.
Mm-hmm.
But when I saw the font style with like the sparkly text in it,
it's giving the 2000s. I think she's going for the 90s. I mean, it's giving the 90s. It's giving the late 90s.
Yeah, I don't like it. I feel like it looks like anyone could do that.
I like it because this album looks a lot like NSYNC's, like, No Strings Attached.
Okay.
And that's why there's this whole, like. That, I mean, it's orange and it, like, I feel like it has this font. But, like, you know, there's a box, there's, like, an orange box below the number 12 on the track list on, like, the back of the CD. Mm-hmm. And I guess this was a thing during the 90s where, like, there would be a secret extra song that you only hear when you get like the album or the vinyl.
Okay.
And they would have stuff like this secret box that there's actually another track in there. So I don't know if that's real, but I saw people talking about it. And on the shelves behind them, there's like an orange 90.
Okay.
90s thing. I don't know. Yeah, that's it.
Back
that's the internet.
To the font.
Yeah, go back to the font. Sorry.
Shot says, yes, Natasha, why is it giving Canva?
It's giving before Canva, though. It's giving old.
It is.
Yeah.
It's giving old. Melissa says, the glitter gel pen era is back. Totally get that.
It is.
It's in my face. I understand. I just find it kind of hard to read it. I don't know if anyone else is having this, but like... I don't know, but it's like the fracturing of the images and like the text all around. I kind of wish like it wasn't super, like the text wasn't glittery. I wish it was just like orange and then there was like glitter around it if she was going for that theme.
I have no problem with that. I feel like I like it.
That was my initial thing. I was just like, oh.
Interesting. Yeah, I could see what you're saying, but I like it.
Do you like the fracturing of the image?
I like what it's probably representing, like the fracturing of like her mind, like she can't focus on anything because she's like her whole life is kind of taken over by the show.
I just find it really hard to read. I don't know.
Are you talking about this specific picture here or are you talking about a different picture.
I'm looking at the album art.
Oh, you're looking also at like the specific art.
And then also on like the backtracks too. I wish it was a little bit more art deco, you know, if she's going for that vibe. That's, I think. But then also, I think Showgirl is hard to read. I like the life of a.
Okay.
And then Showgirl is just kind of like on disappearing the, yeah. in there.
Because it's on like an arm or something on the album cover. There's like a limb behind it.
I think in almost all, even like the bug one, the purple doesn't. Yeah, I don't love the glitter. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I can see that. The bug one I definitely see. I like it better in the gray. You know, the bug one has the gray and the purple.
Mm-hmm. Melissa, what's TAS? Do you notice that TAS is lighter too?
The T and the A and the S. Oh, the letters are a little lighter. Oh. Interesting. They are
like a gradient.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I feel like she like does all this with a lot of different references in mind. So she's probably like specifically trying to reference something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I see what you mean. I understand like it does look like anybody could make it, but it also reminds me a lot of like those albums in the 90s. Melissa says, at the beginning of the words, could either be for Taylor Allison Swift or there's a surprise. She does talk about like her fans wanting to know everything, but actually wanting to be surprised for a good chunk of time.
Yes. I thought it was so interesting. I don't know if you saw this on TikTok, that someone decoded. She's like, the thing above the door with the lights. And oh, yeah. She was,
I mean, that's reference from The Man.
No, but then someone decoded these lights in Braille. She's like, in the Braille and the thing. And it had a whole message.
You mean in Morse code? Lights? Braille is like raised when you feel with your hands.
Yes. So like the lights, not in Morse code, in Braille, they read in the lights in the very last song when she sang, what was the last song she sang?
But I'm Bejeweled. Confused about how...
Karma.
See lights in Braille. Because Braille is because you can't see.
Yes. But the little dots that are raised in those patterns, that's what they read it in.
I don't... You gotta start from the beginning. They read okay. What?
So, in Karma, above the door, there are the lights on the stage, and they're flashing different patterns. And so someone went in... and screenshotted all the different patterns that the lights are flashing and then put that against Braille because Braille are the raised dots.
Yeah. They put the lights in Braille.
Yes.
So she was speaking...
read a message.
Oh my God.
And I think she said that because no one figured it out.
What did it say?
I mean, God damn, I'm going to have to find the TikTok.
That's legitimately psychotic. Because people who read Braille can't see the lights. So
that's so true. Wait.
You don't even care what that thing is above that doorway in under that dimly lit flickering light over there that's upside down backwards in Braille. You don't...
Like, I okay, did so she then someone actually went, mean that, or was that a joke because it's so extensive?
So they're taking these lights up here. Do you see these?
Yes, and
they're different,
but that's insane. So those are the 12 tracks. We finished the 12 tracks. Let's talk about, like, are there any big parts of the interview that we need to discuss?
Can we just talk about her and Travis?
Yeah, well, when Travis was like, I'm 87, she's 13, together we're 100, why didn't I ever think about that?
Go through my head.
I know. I was like, wait, what the fuck? That's so obvious. Why haven't I ever thought about how they're 100 together?
Melissa says, can we discuss how good the questions are from Jason? The thing Christine and I commented on, we're like, yeah, it was basically Jason he was just the interviewer.
Yeah,
the
he whole was. Time. And like, Travis was just there as her hype man.
I had multiple instances where I just like kicked my feet and screamed because I was just like, ah! I was like so excited.
Oh my God. I, in the beginning, was like kicking my feet nonstop. It was just like, ah. Once I hit like the hour mark, I was like, I can't believe this is still going. What are they saying? I can't believe it. I liked when she was like talking about him on stage, and he was like, I came up and there were so many people looking at you. Like, I've never experienced that in my entire life. And then he was so afraid to drop her, and she's like, you could throw me over a mountain and then climb the mountain and catch me on the other side. Jason was like, hey, football players drop the ball all the time, Taylor.
My mind went to a dirty place of him throwing her on the bed.
Oh my God.
He said that. I was like, ooh.
I love when she talked about Jason, and she was like, you moved faster than I've ever seen anyone move in their life when you jumped out that window and gave me that child.
He was like a cricket.
Yeah.
Like one minute he's there and the other minute he's gone.
He's over here and then he's over there. Yeah, that was really funny.
Nicole said, I loved how apparent it was for that they both have so much respect for each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really sweet hearing her talk about how, you know, she didn't know anything really about football until he started explaining, like, they're not all on the field at the same time and, like, mm-hmm. first downs and all this stuff, and how he's so thankful that she dove head first into it and she's so excited about it now. That's really sweet.
When she said, what was it like for you standing across the field looking at your brother? And I would just like to say that that was also the first time that I had learned that not all players are on the
field. Oh, yeah, me too.
Time.
And I literally cheered for football since I was in third grade all through high school.
I mean, it makes sense. The defense versus the offense and then offense versus the defense. I should have known.
Kind of. I don't know. No one ever explains it.
I knew that there were people off the field, but I just thought that they just got switched out when someone
Me
got
too.
Hurt.
I thought that's what, or they go in like once people get tired.
Yeah.
First string, second string. yeah, Shot says, I was so surprised when they talked about how she entered the stadium in the general entrance. How did no one notice? Yeah. So she went to that first game, that Bears game, with a bunch of his really big friends, and they were all surrounding her, and they walked in through the front door. She was wearing a hat and a mask, and nobody noticed.
Did she not have her security with her?
It sounded like she just rolled in with the friends, but maybe they were in the wings.
I think I saw the video. I think there was some security there.
Yeah, but like sometimes her security just looks like a person.
Exactly. I loved when he goes, I love when she uses big words. And she's like, you know what esoteric means.
I know.
I just can't get over how much he just like worships her.
Yeah, and I just like how he leans in to like mm-hmm. the making fun of himself sort of thing, because there was all this rhetoric about him being like too dumb for Taylor Swift, and it's like it was mean, but he's just like kind of leans in a little bit and just, you know, makes it his own thing instead mm-hmm. of being sad about it. Him cradling her record when she gave it to him was so cute. Just holding it the whole time. Let's see. Yeah, I mean, what she said about the album was that like her goals was super infectious melodies, crisp, focused, intentional lyrics. We talked about the art of the Easter egg. She talks about how an Easter egg will never lead back to her personal life. It'll always lead back to the music. But mm-hmm. that's kind of like a roundabout question, because the music leads back to her personal life, which mm-hmm. she also talked about.
I think the other like Jason part, someone brought it up in the chat, was when she told the story about when he met the royal family and he didn't know what to do with his beer.
Yeah. she talked about how All Too Well 10-minute version is her favorite song ever written, and Red was probably her favorite re-release because she mm-hmm. got to fall in love with that album that she wasn't like so sure about sometimes. Mm-hmm. And she talked about like how she really loves Something Nothing New. And I think that re-release is also when we got like uber excited, because everyone wanted All Too Well 10-minute version, and we knew we were mm-hmm. getting it. And there were some bangers on that, the new songs that got released on Taylor's version. Like, oh my God, I'm blanking on the name of the song where it's like the very first night. No, the other one.
What are you talking?
The extra songs on the red, the one that was on the radio all the time. It was like, so excited. This is just starting vibe. He could feed the one.
Was that it?
Message in a bottle.
Oh.
Yes, Shots. Thank you. Shots says, I think it was very apparent that Red TV was her favorite child. I mean, it was also after Fearless, which didn't have as much hype around it when it came out, you know? Like, people were excited, but I do remember the critics being like, it's just not that big of a deal and it's not that exciting. And it was interesting hearing her talk about how, like, everyone was like, this isn't going to go over well. She's ruining her career. And then it brought her to a level of fame that no one could ever have expected.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm reading your notes.
Oh, yeah. That part gave me the chills when she was talking about that, how, like, no one really believed in this idea and thought it was stupid that she was going to re-record all her albums. And then it literally led to the biggest tour of all time and to her becoming a billionaire just from her music and her tour.
All these things happen for a reason.
Then ultimately her getting her master's back. Okay, what else? We got to talk about the meat of the podcast that everyone's talking about. Taylor Swift's baking obsession with sourdough. And Travis's love for otters.
I mean, we all know she loves baking.
Yeah.
I loved how Travis goes like, wow, Taylor Swift not on tour, just at home. Completely different experience.
Well, he's like, I love seeing her find her hobbies. Which is so sweet.
And like, she sews and she bakes. And what else does she do?
Well, she sews like purses and scarves.
And baby blankets.
Or baby blankets, yeah. And she bakes and what was the third thing? She goes on people's sourdough blogs. Great time to be a sourdough blogger. Paints, Cheyenne says. Oh, interesting. Yeah. And, okay, can we just talk about also the idea of a cinnamon swirl sourdough bread?
Oh, it sounds delicious.
I can't wrap my head around it.
Like, sourdough doesn't have to always be salty. It's like a yeasty, but like it'll probably be like a little, I don't know.
I want to try it.
I think it sounds good.
Please send me one, Taylor Swift.
I think
I volunteer.
A lot of people are using like sourdough. Like my family friends made sourdough waffles. Butter and syrup or sourdough muffins.
Why?
It's good.
Okay.
What is your aversion to sourdough? When was the last time you had a piece of sourdough?
I only started to come around to sourdough very recently, and it has to have butter on it, or I don't like it, because it's kind of sour. But, like, I don't want my muffins to be sour.
Yeah. Melissa says, and sourdough doesn't always have to have that sourdough taste. A sourdough can be flavored in so many different ways once you add the flour.
So why do we call it sourdough still?
Because it's a fermented yeast. That's how you make it.
I guess I just haven't had a large variety of sourdough, so I can't comprehend it because I haven't tried it.
Yes, Christine's very limited palate.
Well, also, no one's around me making fucking sourdough. Like, that's not a common thing for people to just serve up all different types of sourdough. You have the classic, usually.
Yeah, I mean, Trader Joe's has a bunch of different sourdough.
I never go to Trader Joe's, but cool. Anyway, now that I know, maybe I'll notice it out in the world more.
Also, like a blueberry sourdough is good too.
I was on board with that until she said blueberry lemon, and I was like, oh, I don't think I'd like it.
I've decided I don't really like blueberry and lemon together.
I don't like anything with lemon, but I love blueberry. Big fan. It is really interesting. The funfetti is regular sourdough with sprinkles.
She must make it taste like sweet,
like
though.
Cake? Yeah, I don't know. Very interesting. But that was a very cute section of the pod. I feel like it's the most memed I've seen that section a lot.
All the different puns.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Loafing you as bread. And then she's like, you don't know that song. It wasn't on the Earth Star. And he's like, I love you. That was really cute.
Baby, just say yeast. Yes.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. But I think that's going to wrap up. Is there any other big parts you really wanted to talk about? At the end, she talks about how Jason told the kids that cats were poisonous. Oh my God. Because he's allergic to cats. That's
a point. And you have to tell them these things to keep them on their feet.
He's like, to let them know that they have to critically think about things that people tell them.
I mean, I liked when she talked about Kelsey. No, what's Jason's wife's name?
Oh, Kaylee. Or is it Kaylee?
Kelly? No. Kylie.
Kylie.
Kylie. And how he's like, I'm going to shotgun this. And she's like, do you think that we need to do that right now?
Or can we
like,
not right now?
Can we not right now?
And no, but like, it wasn't even that. It was like jumping on a table that was on fire.
And then she's like, and then I heard her say that to your five-year-old.
Or, yeah, to your child who was like, I want to throw pudding on the wall. I was like, okay, can we not right now? It's a good strategy because it's just like, let's procrastinate that activity until you forget.
I just love that, like, she has, like, a whole new, like, little family that she gets to be around. I mean, she has so many friends already, but, no, it was so fun seeing her interact with those two for 2 hours. And, I mean, not obviously just Travis. That was so fun. And they kissed at the end.
Yeah, it felt like the boyfriend tag. Like the first hour of her like talking about how her reaction when the friendship bracelet thing happened and him talking about like how he was so captivated by her on stage and he had to meet her. Oh my God, it was so cute.
Yes.
Oh my God. Okay. I just also wanted to point this out because there's always jokes about this online because Taylor would notice when anything happened in the crowd, you know, when there was like an engagement or something and everyone would be like, it's the LASIK. And then in this episode, she was like, I have LASIK. I have incredible vision. I see everything. And she was saying it like with a laugh. So she knew that she was referencing the memes. That was very cute. Yeah, it was a great interview. They did a great job. Who would have thunk that we would have gotten the release of TS12 announcement on the Football Players podcast? Oh, boy. All right. We are going to wrap up with a Mary Keys Cliff. All right, we're Mary Kiss Cliffing some Max Martin, what is his name? Shellback collaborations.
Yeah. Did you realize that our episode number is 131 and it's 13 and 13 forward and backwards?
Yeah, I did this morning.
Okay, sorry. Mary Kiss Cliff.
Yes. Okay, Mary Kiss Cliff. We are never getting back together. I knew you were trouble. Blank space.
None of these are my favorite.
Okay. I am going to marry We Are Never Getting Back Together. I am going to kiss I Knew You Were Trouble. And I'm going to cliff blank space.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to marry blank space.
Wow.
Kiss I Knew You Were Trouble and Cliff Never Getting Back Together.
Oh my God. Crazy.
I never liked that one.
Wait. I love Never Getting Back Together so much. Oh my God. It just makes me so happy. I'm going to dance down the street. All right. Cool. Well, folks. That was our show today. We are off to go record Fangirl Tea Time. And if you want to join us for that, you can become a patron at the link in the show notes, patreon.com/thoseforkingfangirls. We'd love to have you. Mm-hmm. Our podcast is edited by Emma Burton, Vergard, Natasha Polis, Christine Riccio, and Alex Polis. Our music is by Cole Jenkins with vocals by Heather Traska. Make sure you're following the podcast on Instagram at thoseforkingfangirls and on TikTok at Those Forking Fangirls, and of course youtube.com/@thoseforkingfangirls if you like to watch the show. And we drop new episodes every Friday. We'll see you next week. My name's Christine.
I'm Natasha.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Save big money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde Home Safety Products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kidde products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money.